Welcome back. We're back. The full football disclosure. Let me get that right. The football full disclosure.
Yeah, I was going to say, I thought it was football full disclosure, but you know.
It absolutely is the football full disclosure. And welcome back to season two or season 25-26 of the Premier League season. So you can see my smile.
Yeah, you're a happy man.
I'm a happy man, of course, but we'll get into that later because it's been an interesting season or even pre-season or summer.
Yeah, it's been a great one. It's been a great teams.
Yeah, for certain teams. But I think before we actually get into that, we should, you know, mention unfortunate passing of Diogo Jota and his brother Andre Silva, which took the footballing world by a massive surprise.
Yeah, I mean, that one team I was talking about, I guess it's not just that one team, had a great summer with the big exception of Jota.
It took everyone by surprise. I think it was, it felt almost as if you were losing, you know, I don't want to say a member of your family, but, you know, football does mean that much to us, doesn't it? Mm. And he, you know, for me, it was a great player. He was a fantastic player. I think the things that come to mind are the late goals and particularly the goal he scored against Spurs in the 3-2 win. I think that'll always be etched in my memory. And, you know, we just wanted to pay massive homage to Diogo Jota because it was, you know, it's incredibly unfortunate. He'd just been married.
It's insane. Just been married, you know, just coming off the back of a Premier League win. You've still got a beautiful future in front of you.
Indeed.
And, you know, couldn't be happier. And then just like that. Gone. Incredibly sad. Yeah, a lot of tears shed over the summer.
Indeed.
It was tough to take.
Yeah. So hug your families, and again, Jota, we will miss you. And the number 20 has been rightly retired by Liverpool. I think that was a great gesture. And some of the things that the club have done has been a fantastic gesture. Things like his salary for the next 2 years, his entire contract will be paid to his family, which I think is an excellent gesture by the club.
Yeah. Things that I hope would have been done. But yeah, absolutely. Just club stepped up and yeah, taking care of the family, retiring the number. It's a lovely tribute to him.
Indeed.
And apparently what an amazing man he was. And lots of people have been talking about it. Yeah, he's great on the pitch, but what a generally lovely person he was
as well.
Yeah, well, definitely deserved.
Okay. So let's talk football. We've got the Premier League. We've had game week 1-3 played already.
We have.
Yeah. And it's looking very good for us, Liverpool. Full disclosure, I'm sorry, we do have to make this clear to you. We are Liverpool supporters, if anyone was ever in any doubt. If you haven't listened to the other shows, now you know. We are Liverpool supporters, so when I mentioned I was smiling at the beginning of the episode, it's because I'm going to make my bold claim. What's wrong? Are you making a face?
Because I know what you're going to say.
What am I going to say? I'm not going to say it.
You can say it.
I'm going to say it, and I will go on record in saying this. I think we will retain the Premier League title this year because we've had the best summer imaginable, barring possibly the unfortunate not signing Gay at the end of the transfer window. But I think we've had, wow.
It's been an incredible transfer window for us. Yeah, I mean, I would not have imagined going into the window that we would have done the business that we've done.
Spending the amount we spent.
But then again, yes, big numbers. Net spend's still pretty decent, though. We did offload some players.
There we go.
It's important. Net spend's important. It's the money you take in as much as the money you're obviously spending out. So I thought, just incredible business. I think, wow. I mean, we're kind of securing our future for sure.
That's exactly it. I got to ask you, who excites you the most? An array of attacking talent. It's mostly attacking talent, actually. Which could be an issue.
Well, that would be my concern.
It could be an issue.
I would have, and you know, anybody listening to this, yourself included, is probably not going to agree with my next statement, but I would have preferred to have seen Gehi come in over Isak on the final day.
You can't see my mouth is open. What?
No, I didn't like the way the Isak thing unfolded. I didn't like the way he acted.
His attitude.
Yeah. And then I was like, you know what? I'm thinking we just signed a really good striker and he's actually started off really, really well. And I'm thinking, okay.
And you're referring to Ekitike. Yeah, Hugo. Sakatike.
And I thought, yeah, he had a great start. Chiesa has been getting a few opportunities. You know, I always like to give people opportunities. Mm-hmm. I would have kept Nunez if it were me, but hey.
Well, we know how we feel about him.
Yeah, yeah, I don't make the decisions. Mm. But I would have thought, yeah, we would have been okay with that.
Mm.
I don't like the money we spent on him either, too much. And I just think, eh.
Okay, Marty, put it this way. Alexander Isak was the high school scorer after Salah, wasn't he? And in terms of goals scored in the Premier League in the last, 3 years, I think Isak is there right behind Salah and Haaland. What we have done is, yes, we've secured our future. I know you don't like the fact that he threw his toys out of the pram before he left, but unfortunately, the way football works, in my opinion, if you kick up a fuss, if you scream and shout, throw your toys out of the pram and everything else like that, you will get what you want. Look at Gay. He did everything right. He was the model citizen. He's the son of a pastor, son of a preacher.
Yeah. Son of a preacher, man.
He's indeed a son of a preacher. He faced that transfer, whatever it was, with integrity, and look at where he is. Still at Crystal Palace. There's no disrespect in that, but he would have wanted to move, I would imagine. But where he's there, and possibly, you know, do we sign him in January? Does that harm his career?
No, we don't sign him in January. I think we've already come out and said we're not going to do that. We get him for free, for absolutely nothing, next summer. So we still get the same player.
Mm.
He keeps his reputation at his club.
He does.
Yeah, the fans still like him. They'll respect that he did it the right way and didn't kick up a fuss like other players have.
Okay.
And we'll get him for free. So, I mean, ultimately, the concern is, yes, we've got all this attacking talent, which is amazing. And don't get me wrong, I respect that Isak is an incredible player and he may well win us the league again.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is...
And Champions League. And,
yeah, well, who knows,
and
right?
Let's see.
I mean, he's quality. He is quality. There's no doubt about it.
Mm.
Obviously, he's got to keep himself fit. He had a few little injury niggles, I think, last season, didn't he?
He didn't really
get into full swing.
Yeah.
So that's a concern. But ultimately, if he keeps fit, I'm sure between him and Ekitike, we will have two players who are very capable of scoring goals and winning us games. But for me, are we going to be okay defensively? Certainly in that centre-back area, Gehi would have been a really solid signing
for us.
Because, Konate's been a little bit of a concern for me.
He has.
We know Van Dijk's going to drop off at some point. I mean, it's going to happen. Of course, I know. It's like, yeah, Van Dijk. He's incredible player, but he's going to have a drop off at some point in time.
Yeah.
And what you don't want is the wheels to fall off, at a crucial part of the season.
Because you didn't have enough cover. We did sign the Italian, Leone.
Yeah, we did.
Gomez is... He came on against Arsenal. He looked like Gomez of old.
Yeah, I love Gomez.
We love Gomez.
But again, he's got to stay fit all season,
isn't
he? He
has to stay fit, exactly. And for me personally, I think, let's remember, we kept a clean sheet against Arsenal. And actually, I want to use this as a kind of segue into talking about that potential second place team, Arsenal, who currently sit in third place. So, just a position out of where they probably will end up. We kept a clean sheet against Arsenal. That was a difficult game. It was a tough, tough game. And I think both sides went into that game with a bit of apprehension, not really sure. It was billed as like the big title, heavyweight, challenge. And neither team really kind of went into it with an intention to win. I think, can you have a smash and grab at home? Because that's what we did.
Yeah, of course you can. You can have a smash and grab anywhere. Yeah, it wasn't a great game.
It wasn't.
And Arsenal didn't go for it when they really should have done. They really should have gone for it. And I think that's, that's on them, isn't it, obviously?
Arteta. I'm a fan of his.
So, yeah, I mean, it wasn't great. But you know what?
Mm.
You got to look at it in terms of points and wins. And if you get the wins, it doesn't really matter how you get it. And that is how you win titles. Everybody knows that.
Absolutely.
You don't have to play well, but you do have to get the points and you do have to win the games. And to have three quite tough starting fixtures from a Liverpool point of view, I think all Liverpool supporters have to be very happy with those
Absolutely.
9 points. And that Arsenal one in particular, even though it wasn't a great game,
to
come away with it with a brilliant, brilliant goal from a player who's having a great season, by the way. At right back, out of position.
Yeah.
But he could be instrumental for us this season, to Szoboszlai. I think this could be his year.
It might actually be a season where, with all of this, players we've signed, it's actually the existing ones that step up. Szoboszlai, You know, I think it might be a big season for McAllister. I want to see Jones. I think Jones is someone. He's the only Scouser in the team now, isn't he?
Yeah, he's been getting a bit of game time.
He's been getting a few here and there, but he's someone I would like to see a little bit more, kind of just kick on. You know, we've lost, obviously, Harvey Elliott, another English lad, which was, you know, a bit of a shame. I know how you feel about him. I know you're a big fan of Harvey Elliott.
Yeah, I would like to have seen him. I like to see young players do well. Yeah. I like to see local players do well. I like to see, you know, English players do well as well. That's good for the national team.
For the national team.
So, yeah, I like to see that. And when you've got a young talent like him, in fairness, we have put some nice clauses into into our sale of him. So,
yeah,
a sell-on fee, which is always nice to have.
We have a first buy option.
We've got a buyback option as well. So if he, you know, does start doing fantastic things and really, really makes it to that next level, then we have the option to then buy him back.
We actually sold him. Wow.
Feels
like
It's a loan. It's a loan with
an option to buy, isn't
an
it?
Obligation to buy.
Okay. And if they don't buy, they have to pay us. Is that the way it works?
Something like that.
Okay. So let's not forget there are 19 other teams in the Premier League.
There are. Yeah.
Let's talk Arsenal. My favorite, my mates back home, Arsenal supporters, they absolutely hate listening to this whenever I bring up Arsenal. I'm telling you right now, Mikel Arteta's job, if it wasn't on the line, this is the season that it is on the line, because he has what he needs. He has a striker.
So this is last chance, saloon time.
Absolutely. Phase, what is it? Phase six, phase seven, Arteta.
He's been given a lot of time. They've been very patient with him.
Oh, yes, they have.
It's going to run out at some point in time, isn't it?
I think so. What do you think is the minimum? Premier League, Cup, FA Cup, he's already won.
He's got to win something.
He's got to win something.
Yeah,
can't justify second place and, you know, XG goals. We had the highest XG goals, or we had this and we had that and finished in second place. That's not going to be enough for Arteta.
I think they'd be happy with a runner-up, to be honest, because given how Liverpool have done business, they'll be looking at that and saying, wow, okay, all right. I think every team in the Premier League is looking at that and thinking, wow, this is going to be a tricky season.
But us?
I mean, Man City, you never know what's going to happen with them these days, to be quite fair. I mean, the last season...
Who said they were back?
Yeah, this season, it's like, okay.
They won one game.
It's only three games. It's only three games
I know.
But still...
But that's two losses.
Yeah,
they
mad.
Okay, so they beat, let's, you know, give a bit of context, they beat Wolves, was it 4-0? It looked like a transom, you know, this Dutch fella in midfield,
Reinier's
looks a baller, had a very good game, and they were talking, the pundits, City are back, they're not back from anything, in my opinion. I think they look like City of old.
City of last season.
Well, that's how short memory, you know, short-term memories you have in football. Mm. City of last season, City of old. I think they're gonna have a they're gonna struggle this season again, in my opinion.
I'm just not sure what's gonna happen with them, to be honest. But I mean, I certainly hope so, but I don't know. I think one team that are gonna struggle this season same city, another team that we all want to see do very badly, is United, because I just can't see.
Do you not feel sorry for them?
No.
You don't.
And I can't see Amorim ever getting what he wants out of them. I just don't think the tactics were.
He looks so unhappy.
I think he's resigned himself to the fact that he's either going to have to resign or be sacked, I think.
But have you ever tuned in just a snapshot of Amorim? He looks like a guy that's just, he's going through all the emotions and everything. His head in his hands, and he looks either like he wants to cry, he wants to shout. It's just, he can't get anything out of these guys, can he?
No, I don't. I mean,
bear in mind they did beat Burnley. It didn't feel like it was a 3-2 win. VAR intervention was needed. We can get onto that later. But it felt like a loss. You know, 3-2 at home to Burnley. Yikes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, we said last season, if he gets the players that fit his system, then maybe. And that's, you know, has he got the players that fit his system yet?
To an extent. I think he's still trying to model players to fit into his system. I think he has one of the best two attacking players in the Premier League in Mbeumo and Matheus Cunha. Mm-hmm. I think Bruno Fernandes is one of the best midfielders in the Premier League. He's got him, obviously. Still, you know, he's had an okay start this season. I think that defence is shocking. That's the problem. I think the defence is absolutely shocking. There's a Dorgu. I think he's a right wing back that plays. He looks okay. he has an Ahmad, for example, who isn't a wing back, but he's fitting Ahmad into that system. I don't think he has exactly the players to fit into the system he still wants to play. You know, they've spent a lot of money, haven't they?
Right, so let's talk about Cunha first. Where's his natural position?
Ooh, I want to say a number 10 behind a striker, around there. But I wouldn't put him as a striker. I think he's an attacking midfielder. I'd say kind of like a Bobby Firmino role.
Right, okay. Yeah. And then where is Mbeumo's best position? Because for me...
Left wing.
You think he's a left winger?
He's a left winger.
He's a left winger, okay.
Categorically, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, so you got a left winger. Mm. And how's he setting up, though? How is he setting up? He likes to play three centre-backs,
it's
right?
And two wing-backs. Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, because he's buying these players, and I'm thinking, well, how's he going to fit them into this system? Because, yeah, he's bought two great players, absolutely. But then how do they fit the system that he's trying to play? Because in my mind, they don't. And he's just buying... Again, it's the mistake of just buying players for the sake of buying players, as opposed to buying players that fit a certain system. He's never going to get results if he doesn't just buy players, regardless of their name, that fit the system he's trying to play.
He wants to play. But three at the back in the Premier League is something that's still, I mean, in memory, I think only one team really played three at the back and had really good success with it. And that was Antonio Conte, his Chelsea team, played three at the back. And he only played three at the back because he had an injury, so he had to fit that to the system. So playing three at the back, I mean, this was obviously reservations that Liverpool had about signing Amorim as our manager. You know, whether he could adapt his, you know, three at the back system to the Premier League. And what we're seeing right now is actually Amorim can't adapt to three at the back to the Premier League. So Liverpool were right in not signing, taking on Amorim as a manager. So I don't see him lasting. I don't think you do either.
No. I'm glad we didn't take him on.
yeah.
And yeah, I can't see him keeping the job. I think he's kind of has resigned himself to the fact that he's going to be out of the job pretty soon. Well, maybe not pretty soon, but I think if he doesn't, maybe he gets a season.
Another season? A whole season?
Maybe he gets the whole season. I'm guessing he probably won't. I think if they're, you know, down mid-table again by Christmas time, January time, they might start making...
I thought it was worse. Not that bad for them. Four points. And
4 points sitting in
nine, that's okay for them.
Well,
they'll be lucky to end the season.
It shouldn't be. For Manchester United,
that shouldn't be.
That's
an improvement.
Well, you know, we got 4 points. We're in ninth, three games. Yay, happy days. I don't think that's how they should be thinking. But to be honest, it's been a rough ride for them.
If they finish ninth at the end of the season, that will be an improvement based on last season.
Yeah, absolutely.
That will be a major improvement based on what we're seeing right now. So anyway, let's talk about a couple of other teams that we think might have good seasons. I'm thinking Chelsea and Spurs.
You know what? I actually do think Spurs might have a decent season.
Because the problem has been removed. And by problem, I mean Daniel Levy.
Yeah, he's gone, which was a shock. I didn't see that one coming.
No.
That. And also, they've got a good manager. And again, you know, both of us are fans of Frank, aren't
Thomas
we?
Thomas Frank is a top manager.
Yeah, I think that was good business. I think getting him in was a good idea. I hope they give him time to adapt and get him going the way he wants things to get going. But yeah, with Daniel Levy out, then
could be good future, could be looking bright
for them.
Absolutely. What about Chelsea? Signed a lot of players again.
Yeah.
Spent a lot of money. World champions, as far as we're concerned, right?
Yeah.
The world champions. Are they the best team in the world as far as the world championship goes?
No.
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not. Mm. But will they have a pretty decent season? I think they will, yeah.
I do think they're going to be our competitors, Liverpool's competitors, for second place or, you know, I'm sorry, Arsenal supporters, but I think Chelsea looks strong.
Yeah. Well, we'll know when we play them, which I think is not too far away.
I think that's the litmus test.
Yeah, I think so. Mm. I think more so than Arsenal, I think they're going to have a pretty decent season. They spent a lot last summer. They've spent again this summer. Mm. I think they've shipped out quite a few people as well, which they obviously needed to do.
Balance the books.
Balance the books,
exactly.
Which they obviously needed to do. So, yeah, I mean, they've spent a lot over the last few years, so they should be doing something, shouldn't they?
Absolutely. Okay, so three teams have come up. Last year, the three teams that came up went directly back where they came from. And the previous season, if you remember Luton went down, then down again, which was, I think that's unprecedented. So the three teams that have come up are Sunderland, Leeds and Burnley. What are we predicting for them? What do we think?
Well, Wolves have had a shocking start again, haven't they? And now, I think last season we thought they were better than they were, but they have...
And they proved it. The players did a job eventually.
But they have just lost their best player. Mm-hmm. That's a big, big problem. Obviously, he's gone to United.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's three games in, three losses. Mm. They're already on a goal difference of -6. Yikes. So it's not a great start. And again, the same problem they had last season. If you start with a few hidings and bad results, that confidence goes down. Yeah, exactly. And you lose that confidence and it's hard to get that back.
It does.
But I don't care how good a manager you are. Mm. If the confidence is in the toilet, it's really hard to lift them back up again.
Absolutely.
So I think Wolves might have problems this season.
Who else?
I mean, Sunderland, they spent quite a fair bit of money and they've had a pretty decent start.
They've got a good manager from all accounts. They have Granit Xhaka. That's someone that we all know. Obviously, played years and years at Arsenal. I think he was Arsenal captain. They've got a decent-looking squad that looked to be Premier League ready. Burnley... I don't know. I think Burnley of old with Sean Dyche, I might have thought possibly could stay up. But this is a Burnley that wants to play football with Scotty Parker.
Yeah.
There we go.
In the Prem again.
Yeah, he's in the Prem again. He was done bad by Bournemouth, in fairness. He kept them up and then they kind of, cut. And then the other being Leeds, who have Daniel Farke. But what do we think? Those three teams that have come up, can they stay up?
Well, I'd like to see... one of them stay up, yeah, sure. I mean, look, Scott Parker, Daniel Farke, they both like to play football.
Mm.
So, yeah, I don't know. It's have they balanced their attacking football with defensive? Because you need to be able to play both, don't you?
We see that every time. Teams come up with the philosophy: let's play football, let's play our way. And you know where they go? Right back down to the championship.
That's what I'm saying. You have to be flexible, don't you?
Or you get a job as the Bayern Munich manager.
Yeah,
your Fins and Company.
So, have they learnt the lessons from the last time? That's the question,
That's
right?
That's the question.
It's like, right, I can still get my team playing football. I mean, absolutely, if you have the players, then, you can play your philosophy and you might get some results. But I think what you really need to do is be smarter about how you play.
Approach games.
And against who you're playing, right? So, yeah, we'll wait and see. I mean, I, again, don't know much about the Sunderland manager, much like you don't. So, have to wait and see how he gets on. But it's been a good start. I mean, they're sitting in sixth now.
They are.
Two wins and a loss. I mean, you need to get those early points. And again, we talk about confidence. Get the early confidence.
That's it. Absolutely. City are 13th. That's just, anyway, that's something else. Brentford, interesting one. They did, obviously, they lost Thomas Frank. But they've made some shrewd signings here and there. I think probably the second best goalkeeper in the Premier League in Kevin Kelleher.
Yeah, Kelleher's gone there.
Yeah.
That was good. That's good business.
Dango Ouattara from Bournemouth signed for them. That was an interesting one. He's looked actually quite bright.
Mm.
They've got a decent squad. I was actually quite surprised that they made, I think he's an ex-Premier League football player, but he was their set-piece coach, their manager. Strange one, that.
All right, okay.
Yeah, he was a set-piece coach.
One thing I didn't say, we're talking about Man City, is you know who their assistant manager is?
It is Pep Linders.
Pep Linders.
I know, right?
Which is, again, so you Agent might see a bit more...
Agent Linders.
Well, the thing is, we're not the same animal we were under Klopp,
no.
are we? So I think from that standpoint, you might see some more Kloppy-style football from Man City.
Hopefully destabilise them from the inside.
Yeah, well, exactly.
Let's see what happens. Okay, so I know you don't want to... predict anything because you don't want to predict. And I know you don't want to get it wrong. And it comes back, end of the season saying, oh, they said Liverpool were going to win the Premier League and they finished fifth or anything like that. But come on, I want to hear you make some kind of prediction about something.
Well, I want to see us win the league, obviously. I think we certainly signed decent players. There's no reason why we couldn't do it again. But I'm not going to sit here and say three games in that, of course, we're going to do that. I know you're quite happy to do that, to throw caution to the wind, but I'm not one of those people. So I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to throw it out there. What I'm going to say is, with the players that we have signed and the money that we have spent, we should certainly be competing for it very, very heavily. In fact, we probably should be winning it with the players that we've signed, but that's not to say that we necessarily will. Okay, that's what I'm throwing out there.
Okay. I'll let you have that. So it is international season. Do you ever watch internationals, or do you just turn it off?
I watch the big tournaments, obviously, but I have no interest in Nations League or friendlies all that much, to be honest.
I know.
I'm not overly infused by the way England are playing football at the moment.
I know, it's a bit.
Yeah, but it's like it is every time. Like, oh yeah, we'll do pretty all right at a tournament and then get knocked out.
Yeah, Thomas Tuchel. God, 2-0 against Armenia, wasn't it? That's a team we should be smashing 5-0.
I miss the days when we used to just go out there and absolutely
and
smash teams.
Score 9 goals against Armenia and Andorra and San Marino and everything else like that. But yeah, I guess those days are over. I guess Tuchel is a very, what's the word I'm looking for? Measured.
Yeah, I don't like that. The mistake that England made many, many years ago, not everybody will remember this, is not giving Harry Redknapp the reins just to send him out there. It's like, right, we're just going to score more goals than you. That's
Harry
it.
Harry Redknapp.
That would have been great.
What he's doing these days, probably looking at retirement, obviously retired, isn't he?
Yeah, he probably does a bit of punditry here and there, doesn't he? I think he gets on the radio from time to time.
There we go. It's good to be back. Hopefully we can get some new guests. There were like 5-6 new Liverpool supporters at the school. Oh. So there we go. We can get a few extra people here to talk about their love of football / Liverpool.
Hmm.
But that was the football full disclosure. I said it right this time. It's been great talking to you, Marty, as always.
Thank you.
And we'll see you again next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.